Okay. Welcome everyone to the July 6, 2022 meeting of the Developmental Disabilities Advisory Board here in Clark County, Washington. Just a reminder, those of you that are joining us, the meeting is being audio recorded. We are not recording this video session. We are just audio recording. And to get us started, do we have any community input? Bob, you showed up on my screen, but I'm not sure if you have community input or if you just something changed in your eye. We're good?
No, I just wanted to have my face on the screen. Sorry.
Good to see you. Okay, and so our next order of business is Lindy is going to share with us the information about the Americans with Disabilities Act.
Susan, sorry, Lindy, before you go into that, we have got one other person on the phone, and we just like to jot down who that is. Is that you, Leanne, on the phone?
Yeah, we already.
Oh, you did. Okay, great. Thanks.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm on the phone.
Do you need us also put our name into the chat or attendance? Or can you get it off?
I got it off the participant list. Okay. It was just Leanne that I needed to clarify.
Okay.
But thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Take it away, Lindy.
Thanks, Susan. I would like to start a new tradition at the board meeting called Disability Justice Tidbit, where I give information about something related to the disability justice movement in history. So this month of July will mark on July 26th, the 32nd anniversary of the Americans with Disabilities Act. And just before it was signed into law, there was a protest known as the Capitol Crawl, where a bunch of people with physical disabilities, they threw themselves on the step of the Capitol building, and you know, the Capitol building has a lot of stairs, not very accessible. And so there were dozens and dozens of people, maybe hundreds. And the senators and people who worked there said that it really inconvenienced them. So it pushed them to sign it into law. Although, in the future, I would hope that people would sign things into law out of the goodness of their hearts and compassion for social justice.
Thank you, Lindy. Okay. And next on our agenda, we have Adana here, Zooming with us from Alaska, to give us an equity learning update.
Thank you so much. Good to be here, good to see you all, and thank you so much for that disability justice tidbit. I love that idea, and especially because July is Disability Pride Month, it feels like just the right time to kick that off. That's a good tradition. So my name is Adana Fresnentis. My pronouns are she, her. I'm the co-owner of Kindred Leaders, which is a consulting agency, and really what we do at Kindred is support humans and organizations of all shapes and sizes in learning more about trauma-informed, equity-centered, human-centered leadership practices, really rooted in a sense of justice and belonging and, frankly, loving compassion for one another. And I'm very excited to get to partner with the Clark County Developmental Disabilities Advisory Board, doing some work on just kind of deepening our learning and understanding of this amazing community that we get to serve so that we can serve them better. A little bit about me, I'm a mom of two. My son, Langston, is gonna be 12 on the 21st. My daughter, Aurelia, is 10. Both of my kids identify as disabled. I myself identify as a disabled person. I serve on the Washington State Developmental Disabilities Council. And what else? I like the garden, and I'm in Alaska, which is why I forgot about the whole midnight sun thing. So people set off fireworks here at 2 a.m. because it's finally dark enough that you can see them. Sunset was at 11:35 last night. It's just, it's a lot. Anyway, so I wanted to share a little bit about the plan for the work that we're going to be doing together and just create some space for dialogue and any questions that folks might have. So the purpose really here is for me to come and support the advisory board in deepening our capacity and learning some frameworks and some tools that we can use, mostly with an intention of not learning what to think about things like social justice and social equity. It's more about how. It's about how do we approach this work? How are we thinking about these things? What kinds of questions do we need to be asking so that we don't miss anyone? So that we're making sure that we're really tending to the margins of the margins of the margins. If you think about if you've ever been camping or for whatever reason, any reason kind of set up a tent, the middle is probably going to be covered no matter what, but how far out you cover depends on how far out you set those stakes, right? And we want to set those stakes out as far as we possibly can, so we're covering as many members of our community as we possibly can. And in order to do that, we need to learn to ask some questions about who isn't here, who might not have traditionally had access to opportunity for advocacy, how might the experience of ableism feel a little bit different, or how might ableism be experienced differently for people based on their gender, based on their race, based on their language of origin, based on their age, based on their income? We could go on and on and on. So we're really going to spend a lot of time exploring those, we call them intersections, those areas where, you know, I might stand at the intersection of being a Black person, being a disabled person, being a woman, being cisgender, all those things at the same time. And so my experience with any one of those isms attached to them, my experience of racism, my experience of sexism, is a little bit different than it might be if any of those other identities were different. So we're going to spend some time together learning more about how that works and about the kinds of frameworks and tools that we can use to keep asking the questions to daylight some of those issues that arise for people when they stand at the intersection of different forms of oppression and marginalization. For me, when I come to this work, it's really, again, all about the how and not the what. It's not about, I don't even think of equity as a what. I think of it as equity is something that is produced based on how we do the work that we do. It's all about how we treat each other, how we show up together, how we handle issues around like accountability, communication, really tending to our relationships with one another. And so the game plan here is for me to spend some time getting to know the folks who are on the advisory board, learning some more about the things that they want to learn, the areas where they would really like more support, the areas where they feel a sense of energy, where it feels like maybe there's some momentum that we can grab. Also learning more about how folks learn best. You know, like if what we're putting together at the end of this, we'll be putting together a retreat experience together. And so we want to make sure that that's really custom tailored for everyone's preferred way of engaging with material, whether that's interactive, whether that's having a lot of time for reflection, whether that's having a lot of time for dialogue, probably some combination of all of those different ways of learning and being in space together. And ultimately, of course, wanting to culminate in the retreat as not the, I always say the workshop is not the work. So the retreat itself is not actually the work of incorporating a more nuanced and deeper approach to equity into our work. It's where we get some tools to do that. It's our catalyst so that we can take that forward. So we want to leave that retreat with a lot of really great tools that we can be using and a really robust plan for follow-up and continued support. So you can be getting resources as you go and keep coming back to some of these ideas and digging deeper, 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 because that's where the magic really happens. I think that's the broad stroke. I'm going to pause there because I just used so many words, and I welcome any questions, comments, thoughts that folks might have.
Well, I'll just say thank you, Adina, for kind of giving us that overview of what the board is going to be engaging in. And I, you know, this all relates back to the board's priority for equity. And we wanted to kind of share with our public here that this is work that the advisory board is kind of digging into deeper. And it sounds like, you know, one of the things that we've talked about as the advisory board is that people have had kind of some varying experience with different opportunities to learn and to engage with equity. And this is really an opportunity to engage in this work together for the advisory board and for the advisory board to figure out what that means in the context of their work, specific here to Clark County and the people that we support. So I don't know. I, for one, am really excited to be working with you, Dana, and this also fits really well into the larger work of our department where the Developmental Disabilities Program sits in the Department of Community Services that houses a number of different other programs like developmental disabilities. And this is a priority for not only our department, but our county council has passed resolutions against systemic racism. They've also passed a resolution related to systemic racism as a public health crisis in Clark County. And so and when it's a resolution, that means we have to do some things. So this is all related to the work that has kind of been set up in front of us. And so we're really grateful to have you here to help us do that.
And then just more of a technical question prior to our getting together, which will actually be, if this really happens the way we've envisioned it, so we'll all be sharing the same physical space for the first time ever as this board as it currently exists. So there's going to be just some newness and learning in that, and getting to know one another. But prior to our getting together, are you going to send out maybe a survey or something to each of us as individuals to kind of get a sense of where we're coming from as individuals functioning as a group?
Yes, absolutely. That's in development right now, a survey to go out to everyone. And that's going to include, it's not a survey in the academic sense of, you know, like qualitative and quantitative research. It's really more just giving me some insights into like who you are as humans and the kinds of experiences you've had so far. What are your hopes? What are your concerns? I also know that I'm supposed to have some negative experiences with equity-related trainings and diversity and inclusion training. There are just so many different approaches to this work. It's work that is very tender. It's work that really speaks to topics that are kind of at the core of who we are and how we move through the world. And so I think for that reason, it needs to be done very gently. That doesn't mean a lack of accountability in any way of imagining it, but just a tendency to, or I have a great desire to have as much information as I can so I can walk in gently and try to make sure I don't cause any harm, frankly. Like, we want to make sure no one's getting traumatized, and that we're all here with this intention of co-creating a learning space. So the whole purpose behind the survey is learning about, like, what kind of learning, how can I create conditions for people to feel a sense of safety so that they can learn? Because that's such a vulnerable act. You have to admit that you don't know something if you want to learn. And that means we've got to open ourselves up and be really vulnerable, and that's kind of a tender thing, too. So learning from you all about what sorts of structures we can put in place to create conditions for folks to feel safe enough to be able to engage really fully and really openly. That's really on my mind. And learning from folks about especially the last two-plus years, where we've had a lot of big social conversations about topics like racism and social justice in a lot of different capacities. I like to ask folks questions about, like, what's kind of been falling off the shelf for you? What's been rumbling around in the last years as you've been bearing witness to this conversation and being part of it? Where are the areas where you've really felt like you wanted some more support? Where are the areas where things have felt confusing? Where are the areas where, like, there's a question that you wish you could ask, but maybe it feels kind of scary to do that? Hopefully folks can tell me that in the survey, and then I can anonymously address those questions when we're together as a group. Again, back to that idea of creating that sense of psychological safety. I think that's the most important thing for me.
Okay. Thank you. And one other, just as a side note that has nothing to do with retreat as a noun has always been viewed as a positive thing. You know, we're all going to get together, we're going to talk about this and whatever. But one of my leaders a while back in my career used it in the form of a verb, and it's like, we are not doing a retreat. That retreat to back away, to give up, and we are not. We're going forward, and so that word it's become kind of stale if you think of it as a verb rather than a noun. I know it's kind of funny that she had brought that up. We are not retreating here. We are
great. I think of it a little bit as backing up so that we can go forward in some regards. I'm a big gardener, and everything comes back to the garden. There's this wonderful book by Catherine May called Wintering, and it's all about how life happens in seasons, and there are times that we really need to go into a season of kind of winter where we kind of scale back and we get quiet and we turn inward and we do a lot of reflecting, and then we can use what we learn there to really charge forward when it's time for spring again. And I think to think of retreat as a verb, that's what comes to mind to me, is this time to sort of like retreat from the world and turn inward and have some conversations amongst ourselves about how we want to proceed, and then we can just boom, charge forward and really take this work in a new and deeper direction.
Are there any other questions for Dana? I realize Lori's not here with us too, Trish.
And also, if you're anything like me, you might think of 14 questions that you wish that you'd asked after we get off the call. That always happens to me. Please feel free to email me. I absolutely welcome reaching out if you have thoughts along the way. You don't have to save them for the time that we're all together as a group.
Thank you.
Of course.
Okay. I'm not seeing any hands up, and I'm not hearing any questions. And so thank you so much for sharing your overview. And our next agenda item is our future meeting format, which is a kind of a recycling topic. And I know we have been asked to continue to offer hybrid opportunities for people to join us virtually who might otherwise experience some sort of a barrier getting to a physical location. There's also some who just aren't ready to be in a large group again. And so, thank you. And so, meeting format, I've seen all the masks in the room, and seen numbers are still, looks like they went down and then they're on their way back up again in our county, that likely the wisest opportunity would be for those who want to meet in person. It is a pretty large room. We can see our room to space that spread out. So we continue to hold on to that meeting space for that glorious day in the future when more people are comfortable joining in person, and continue to Zoom in or Microsoft Teams in. whoever else is wanting to join us. Are there any ideas, input, other options that anybody has that might be viable?
I will just share that we still are, you know, as the county, and that this is a public meeting, we do still have an obligation, according to our prosecuting attorney's office, to have a hybrid model. So what that means is that, you know, even if all of us wanted to come and be in person, we would still need to offer an online opportunity. And further, I think that some of our discussion has been about accessibility for people with disabilities and their families, that, you know, having an online option for meetings like this and other trainings really has been a benefit, and that people have been able to join that may or may not have been able to get themselves physically to a location in a room. So that's where we are. So we still have an obligation to do that. I think that it's great just to check in, you know, with numbers going up or down or sideways. You know, we're still in a very dynamic environment with related to the pandemic and COVID. You know, so we just got information about, you know, the county as an employer has to keep track of COVID cases. And, you know, we are still getting our reminders that, hey, no, you don't have to wear a mask, but you're certainly able to if you want to. They're still recommending to do your social distancing if you are going to be in person and that kind of thing. So, you know, all of those things just to keep in mind. And I think it's a good idea for us to just continue to kind of check in about whatever might come up.
Okay. So yes. So the idea at this point moving forward is to stay with our hybrid format. For those of you that would like to venture down to Franklin Street in Vancouver on the sixth floor, we may be happy to host you. And then I see Trish Starla is not with us, so our final agenda item, believe it or not, is a legislative update. And I've not seen Darla. Trish, did she send anything your way? Or is there somebody here out here that is going to speak on her behalf?
I do. Darla let me know that she was on a meeting that she thought was going to be over by now. And she did have a couple of updates that I wanted to share with you. And then I also wanted to let you know that these, in addition to the recording, I will post all of these handouts on our website and send out a link so that everything, you know, you'll have one place to go if you want to go and find these handouts. And let me see here. Okay. Darla did send a save the date for the 2022 Candidates Forum on Disabilities, and all of these forums will be virtual, held from 6 to 8 p.m., and the 49th Legislative District will be held on October 11th, 17th Legislative District will be held on October 13th, 20th Legislative District will be held on October 20th, 18th Legislative District will be held on October 18th. And so those will be virtual meetings from 6 to 8 p.m. And there's a link here on this flyer as well as a QR code. I imagine that we'll also post the link for registration on our website when we post these as well. So that was one thing that Darla wanted me to mention. Another thing that I wanted to mention that I kind of alluded to earlier was about legislative session and all of the efforts from the Developmental Disabilities Council. So there is an effort called the North Star Project, and that really has been an effort to bring lots and lots of different people with disabilities, families, professionals, residential providers, employment providers, county, DDA staff all together to come up with kind of a vision for developmental disability services. That effort is continuing. And, you know, there was a number of things that were passed this last legislative session, lots of wins for people with disabilities and their families. They didn't get everything they wanted. So there's more work to be done as usual. So those conversations are ongoing, you know, now. So that's something I think for all of us to be aware of. And, you know, as we, you know, we'll start to be thinking about, you know, gosh, it's coming right up in our, at our September public meeting, we'll be talking more about legislative agenda. And finalizing that by November. So it's right around the corner and more to come, I think, this legislative session. Another opportunity that we will post on our website is on July 20th. This is 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. The Community Advocacy Coalition, Community Employment Coalition is hosting information about employment services, and that's open to a broad audience.
information about that will go out, as well as a link to register and be able to connect there as well. And we'll post that on our website as well. So those were just some of the things that I wanted to make sure that everybody was aware of. Let me just look. I'm going to look one more time at my phone to see if there was anything else Darla was recommending that I share tonight. I think that, I think I got it all.
Excellent. All right. Okay. Any questions for Trish about what she just shared? For the legislative candidate forum, do people have to register in advance, or is there a way to just kind of show up, you know?
I'm not sure how she has that set up. I think that it probably has a link to where you can sign up to make sure that you get the link for the meeting. And I will send that out. You know, since we have a few minutes, I did want to kind of share a little bit more information about what legislative session looks like and how the advisory board has engaged in the past. As I mentioned, in September, we usually start talking about and thinking about a legislative agenda that the advisory board adopts at the November public meeting. And then that becomes the basis for having discussion and conversation with legislators in Clark County. And we typically will do those meetings in early January. Historically, we've done them in early January so that we catch the legislators prior to them going off to Olympia. I'm not sure, I haven't heard if this session will be virtual again. Last year and the year before, we were able to meet with our legislators virtually, which was a great opportunity because, you know, for some of those people that might not have been able to meet with us in that first week of January, we were still able to meet with them even after session started. So that was really, I think, a convenient way. Typically, there is a legislative reception that's hosted by the Washington State ARC, and that has historically been in person, except, of course, for the last couple years. I'm not sure if that will be in person or virtual this year. The last 2 years, it has been virtual. That typically occurs sometime around the third week in January, so kind of stay tuned for more information about that. I imagine you'll be hearing more about that in January. We coordinate those meetings with the legislators so that you all can have your voice heard and share the information that you develop in your legislative agenda. This is an opportunity for you to meet with your legislators, get to know them, share information, and advocate for services for people with intellectual and developmental disabilities. And that's something that staff can help prepare. If you need some additional assistance with getting ready for those meetings, because we will be asking you to sign up to take some of those meetings. So, but we're here to support and make sure that your voices are heard. So, and then the other thing I wanted to mention while we're on here is about the proclamations and those board meetings. So we do coordinate those. We get the proclamations, the county as well as all of our local jurisdictions. I will say, I don't know if we've approached the town of Yakult or Amboy. I think they're kind of too small yet, but most of the other cities in Clark County will do a proclamation for National Disability Employment Awareness Month, and they're very happy to do so. And this is a great opportunity for the advisory board to connect with our local elected officials at the city and the county level and make sure to recruit their support for the work that we're doing and for people with disabilities and their families as well. Again, staff is available to assist to, you know, help you to prepare. Usually what that looks like is that the jurisdiction will read off the proclamation and then the advisory board member will accept kind of ceremoniously accept the proclamation. The last few years, again, this has been virtual, but some of our councils are going back to in-person, so we might actually get to accept a physical copy this year. And then usually there's an opportunity to say a few words at the county, at the council meetings as well. So I just thought I'd take this opportunity to kind of give a little more information about some of the things that y'all have done in the past and kind of how that's gone.
Thank you, Trish. I tried to get my microphone muted. It wasn't going to cooperate with me. Okay. And so the time now is 5:45. Wow. Happy summer. And so without any other questions or comments, I declare this meeting adjourned.